So, you have a scary movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's called Halloween, and it takes place on the spookiest day of the year.
Oh, St. Patrick's Day?
No.
Bummer, leprechauns are spooky as hell.
Well, the movie Halloween isn't gonna take place on St. Patrick's Day, it's gonna take place on Halloween.
I guess that makes a lot more sense. This is why you're the writer and I'm not.
I guess so.
So what happens in the movie?
Not much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I got a phone call from your secretary telling me that there's basically no budget.
I had my secretary call you on the phone because it's the 1970s, and it's not like there's some kind of widely used electronic mail system or anything.
I don't know why you'd specify that, but okay.
Look at my hair. It's clearly the 1970s right now.
Please stop specifying what decade it is.
You ever realize how grainy everything is in the 1970s?
Oh, please stop.
Well, okay then. So was it difficult to write a feature film knowing that there's no money to make it?
Actually, it was super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just had very few things happen and put in a lot of inexpensive filler to make it 90 minutes long.
What kind of filler are we talking?
Well, for example, at the end of most scenes, I figure we could just have the camera linger for an unnatural amount of time.
Some unnecessary long takes. That's a great way to pad the runtime without spending any extra money.
Yeah, and sometimes we'll just point the camera at a television and film a different movie for a while.
Oh, padding your movie's runtime with another movie's runtime is groovy.
Right, so essentially we're gonna have enough content for a short film, but stretch it out to feature length.
I love it. So what actually does happen in the movie?
Well, the movie's about a killer named Michael Myers who killed his sister when he was 6 years old.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then he goes outside with a knife and his parents are like, "What'd you do now, Mikey?" and stare at him motionless for 20 seconds.
Why would they just stand motionless like that?
Well, because the camera's gonna slowly and dramatically move out and I couldn't think of anything for them to say while that happens.
Maybe call the cops or try to figure out why their son is holding a bloody knife.
Listen, I could rewrite it, but I'm gonna have to charge you.
Oh, never mind. Standing motionless sounds like the perfect reaction to something like that.
Fantastic. So anyway, Michael Myers goes into a mental facility for 15 years and never says a word.
Okay.
And one night his psychiatrist, Dr. Loomis, is coming to see him and he escapes in a car.
How does he know how to drive if he's been in an institution since the age of 6?
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense, right? Plus he's gonna spend the first hour of the movie driving around town. He's very good at driving.
So how does he know how to drive?
Right? It makes no sense. Dr. Loomis is even gonna talk to one of the employees at the sanitarium and be like, "Who taught this guy how to drive?
And what's the explanation?"
We're never gonna explain it or bring it up again, but because a character pointed out that it makes no sense, it's okay.
Oh, is that how that works? That's neat.
So then Loomis is gonna team up with the sheriff to stop Michael, cause Loomis knows exactly what Michael is gonna do.
How is Loomis so confident if Michael hasn't said a word since he was 6?
I don't know.
Fair enough. So I imagine that Loomis and the sheriff go warn everybody that there's a crazy killer on the loose?
No, they don't.
Why not?
So the movie can happen.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the sheriff doesn't warn anybody, not even his own daughter.
But he's gonna keep an eye on her just in case.
Not at all, and she's gonna get killed too.
Wow, what a terrible sheriff and father.
Yeah, so basically the first hour of the movie is Michael playing peekaboo with the main character Lori and freaking her out.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, but it's gonna be like a spooky version of peekaboo because he has a scary mask on.
What did you have in mind for the mask?
Well, since he's a killer, it has to be really scary.
Oh, so like a William Shatner mask?
What?
Yeah, that'd be perfect because everybody already has those William Shatner nightmares, right?
Oh, I think that might just be you, sir.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, since it's Halloween, everything's gonna be extra tense because there's a bunch of trick-or-treaters around.
No money for that.
We're gonna have a movie take place on Halloween night and show little to no trick-or-treaters.
Unless you want to pay them some of your 1970s money.
You can just say money.
Well,
anyway, so after an hour, Michael is gonna start killing Lori's friends.
Oh no.
Yeah, he's gonna strangle one and he's gonna pin another up against the wall with the world's strongest kitchen knife.
Wow.
And then one of the kids that Lori's babysitting is gonna see Michael outside. And he's gonna be like, "Lori, there's a scary boogeyman outside." And she's gonna be like, "You're crazy."
But she's been seeing a scary boogeyman dude herself all day. Why wouldn't she believe him?
I guess she forgot.
Very forgetful.
And then Michael's gonna finally come for Lori and play some more spooky peekaboo.
Oh, he loves that game.
Yeah, and then he's gonna get stabbed with a sewing needle, and stabbed with a coat hanger in the eyeball, and stabbed with his own knife, and shot a bunch of times by Loomis, and then fall out of a window.
Wow, so he dies?
No, he runs away.
What?
Yeah, he disappears, he's gone.
How does he survive all that stuff?
I don't know, cause he's pure evil, I guess.
So what happens then?
By my calculations, then we're out of money.
Oh, so it's just gonna end?
Yeah, that's it.
What if people wanna know what happens next?
Well, I figure if the movie makes enough money, we can make an obscene number of sequels and spin-offs and reboots spanning over 4 decades.
Seriously? No, I'm just kidding. Can you imagine, though?
So, you have a Halloween sequel for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So it picks up 40 years after the original, and now Laurie is super obsessed with—
Wait, Laurie Strode?
Yeah, from the first movie.
Pretty sure we killed her off in Halloween Resurrection.
What the hell is Halloween Resurrection?
One of the sequels to Halloween.
There's more than one Halloween movie?
Oh yeah, way more than one.
Wow, I should have done some research.
Yeah, sounds that way. I mean, there's a whole story thing where Laurie is related to Michael Myers.
Oh, well, here's an idea. How about we act like none of that ever happened?
Oh, playing make-believe is tight. That's why I got into the movie business.
Yeah, it is.
So what is this sequel called?
Well, naturally, it's gonna be called Halloween 2.
Well, there are already two movies out there called Halloween 2.
Oh, well, what about something like Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers?
Already did that.
Damn it. Well, what about just Halloween?
Once again, already two of those out there.
Titles are hard, man. I don't like this game. Let's just call it Halloween.
The sequel to Halloween's gonna be called Halloween? I feel like that's confusing.
I promise you, it's not gonna be confusing.
If you say so. So tell me what happens in Halloween.
Which one?
See?
Ah, shit.
Okay, whatever. What happens in this movie?
Okay, so the story of Michael Myers is being covered by a couple of journalists, right?
Not topical enough.
Okay, so the story of Michael Myers is being covered by a couple of palm trees, right?
No, topical, like relevant to our times.
Oh, right, okay, so they could be like true crime podcasters?
Perfect.
So anyway, for some reason, they're allowed to go into the facility where Michael's being held and taunt him for a bit.
Feels like that shouldn't really be allowed, but okay.
Yeah, and they brought his mask with them to see how he'd react.
So how does he react?
He doesn't, but to be fair, they just kind of hold it up behind him.
Oh, that's definitely not the ideal way to show someone something.
And later, Michael is being transferred to a new facility and the bus crashes, so he escapes.
Oh no.
And then he's gonna kill a little boy.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that way we're gonna show that he's completely ruthless, you know?
Yeah, wow, it shows that he really doesn't discriminate in his murder sprees, you know? Nobody's gonna be spared.
Exactly, except later he comes across a little baby and he lets it live.
He kills an innocent little boy, but he spares an innocent baby?
Yeah.
So like, what's the cutoff age for Michael to not kill a child?
That's a good question. I guess 5 years old would be a good cutoff.
That sounds pretty hard to enforce.
Yeah, maybe he checks their ID or something. I don't know.
Well, okay then.
So anyway, we catch up with Laurie, and she's been spending her whole life trying to protect her family in case Michael pops up again.
Okay.
So she has her house decked out with security systems and a panic room and everything.
Wow, and where does she move to? Like, what state does she end up in?
What do you mean?
Well, if she desperately wants to protect her family, she must have moved out of Haddonfield, right? That's the first place Michael would go.
She does not.
Feels like that's the logical first step any human being would take in a situation like this.
Well, the movie needs to happen, so she stays in Haddonfield.
Fair enough.
We're also gonna have Laurie's granddaughter, Allison, be one of the main characters of the movie.
And what's her deal?
She's in the movie.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, and she's gonna have this love story that takes up a bunch of time.
A big teenage love story? Why would we have that in the film?
So that she can end up without a cell phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, her boyfriend's gonna get drunk, kiss another girl, and then throw Allison's phone in a punch bowl.
And we're never gonna see him again?
We're never gonna see him again. And yeah, so then Allison's gonna basically run around in the dark and be in the movie.
Wow.
And Michael's gonna kill one of her friends and dress her up like a ghost.
He dresses her up as a ghost?
Yeah, you know, like a sheet with eye holes cut out? So we're saying that Michael killed somebody and then took a little break to do some arts and crafts?
That's exactly what we're saying.
I love it. We're also gonna have Michael's psychiatrist be like a crazy admirer and kill a cop so Michael can run free.
Oh, I guess that's an interesting twist. So where does that lead?
It leads to the psychiatrist dying like 15 seconds later.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's the end of that.
What a brief turn of events.
And so then Michael's gonna go to Laurie's house and she's gonna stand up to him once and for all, you know? It's gonna be the side of Laurie we've never seen.
Well, I mean, we did the exact same thing with her character in Halloween H2O back in 1998.
Yeah, but I didn't see that one.
Yeah, you didn't see that one, that's right.
So anyway, when Michael gets into the house, Laurie's gonna turn on these bright lights.
See, that's really smart. That way he can't hide around in the dark rooms.
Oh, sorry, I should have been more clear. When Michael gets in the house, Laurie turns on some floodlights outside, so it's still super dark in the house.
Well, how's that gonna help?
Oh, it's not at all.
So it's gonna be impossible for her to take on a crazy killer in a dark house.
Actually, it's gonna end up being super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's gonna lure Michael into the panic room, which as it turns out was a trap the whole time.
Oh, what a fun twist.
Yeah, so these bars are gonna close over the panic room door and Michael's gonna be trapped in there.
So is Laurie gonna shoot him in the face or something?
No, because she has this thing installed that, you know, burns the whole house down.
What are you talking about?
Well, her idea was to trap Michael inside her home and then burn the whole thing down.
But she shoots him to make sure he's dead and doesn't find a way to escape, right?
No, she leaves with her daughter and her granddaughter while the house is on fire.
But her character's whole thing was that she wanted to kill Michael Myers and now she's not gonna make sure he's dead? That doesn't make sense.
That's just the way it's gotta be.
But why though?
I mean, you know why.
Yeah, I know why. So, you have a Halloween sequel for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
So, you remember in the last movie how Laurie Strode shot two of Michael Myers' fingers off and stabbed him and left him for dead in a house fire?
I do, yeah.
So, at the beginning of this movie, Laurie's gonna see some firefighters on their way to the fire and be like, oh, dang it, no.
She didn't account for the existence of firefighters when she planned a house fire?
She didn't, no. So, then Michael's gonna kill like 10 firefighters.
A bunch of firefighters in great physical condition get taken out by an 8-fingered 60-year-old with smoke inhalation?
That's what we're going with.
Because first of all, they each take turns attacking him, and second of all, Michael's now surprisingly good at martial arts.
Oh, maybe it's one of those house fires you keep hearing about that are very, you know, educational karate-wise. I might have just made that up.
Maybe. So then at the hospital, Laurie has emergency surgery because Michael had stabbed her as well.
Oh, that's right.
And then you're gonna like this. She's gonna spend the rest of the movie in a hospital bed, barely having anything to do with anything.
Aren't we billing Jamie Lee Curtis as the star of this movie? Feels like she should do something.
Well, actually, at a certain point, she is gonna get out of bed, but then she's gonna be like, ouch, my stitches, and she's gonna go back to bed.
That works.
So then we're gonna go to a local bar and meet some characters that are having, like, a Halloween talent show.
Well, this is still the same night as the last movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about an 18-hour night, I'd say. So this guy Tommy Doyle gets on stage, and he's actually the kid that Laurie was babysitting in the 1978 movie.
So what's his talent? Ruining everybody's fun.
Oh, it is. Yeah, he goes on stage, and he's like, I'm not doing any talent thing. I just want to remind everyone that there were murders that happened 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that guy's a real buzzkill.
He is. And then on the bar TV, they're going to see that Michael Myers and this other guy escape from a psychiatric hospital.
Oh, so they see his face?
They do, yeah. We don't see it because it's blurred to us, but they do.
Oh.
So Tommy Doyle decides he's going to get a mob together and go kill Michael.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he says Michael's been terrorizing this town for 40 years, so evil dies tonight.
Hasn't Michael been locked up for 40 years after killing 3 people in the late 70s?
Yeah, just terrorizing the town. So Tommy's like, evil dies tonight.
Yeah, he already said that.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. About half the lines in here are people saying evil dies tonight.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So Tommy goes around recruiting people for his mob, and he's like, we're gonna go murder a guy. Do you want to come with? And people are like, yeah, okay.
Oh, being easily convinced to do murder is tight.
It is. So all these people, they're gonna be like, evil dies tonight.
Right.
So Tommy gets pretty much the whole town together because he's like, there's strength in numbers.
Smart.
So now that they have the numbers, they all split up into little easy-to-kill groups.
Smart.
And at the hospital, Lori's granddaughter, Allison, is like, I'm gonna go join a mob and find Michael and kill him because evil dies tonight.
Okay.
But her mom, Karen, is like, no, Allison, Michael's definitely on his way to the hospital to kill Lori. So for you to be safe, you should stay in the hospital.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm just kind of filling time between kills. I'm hoping nobody pays attention to this stuff.
Oh, fingers crossed.
So then for most of the movie, we're gonna kind of meet characters for a little bit, and then they're gonna die horrible deaths.
Wait, so who's the protagonist in this thing?
Pass.
That's fine.
And so then eventually the mob finds out that one of the escape patients is in the hospital, so they're like, oh my, that's gotta be Michael. We gotta kill him.
Is it Michael?
No, it's not. It's this short little balding guy running around screaming, help me, please help me.
So they realize that's not the 7-foot-tall man whose face they just saw on TV.
No, they're still pretty convinced it's him.
Oh.
So the mob chases this guy down, and he gets so scared, he jumps off the hospital and dies.
Oh, my God.
And so meanwhile, the real Michael Myers goes back to his childhood home, and there's this couple living there, Big John and Little John.
Uh-oh.
So one of them sees a bloody handprint on the wall next to their open back door, so they're like, oh, my God, somebody's in the house.
So they call the cops?
Well, no, they close the door and split up and start checking rooms separately.
Also a decent strategy.
Yeah, you'd think that would work, but it doesn't, and they both die.
Oh.
And then this guy Lonnie and his son and also Allison, they figure out that this is where Michael went, so they head over there.
They don't alert the rest of the mob or the police.
Nope, they head over alone.
Nothing wrong with that.
So then they get there, and Lonnie's like, you two need to stay safe, so I'm gonna go in alone.
Smart as well, sure.
So he goes into the house and immediately screams, so his son and Allison, they go in as well.
Oh, immediately disregarding the strategy.
That's the idea. So then Michael kills the guy.
Well, there was no way to see that coming.
Agreed. And then he's about to kill Allison, but Karen pops out and stabs him in the back with a pitchfork and stomps on his head while he's down.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's badass.
So does she stab him another couple times, make sure he's dead?
No. She walks out onto the street and she's like, hey, Michael, if you want to kill someone tonight, kill me.
But she has him stabbed and on the floor.
Yeah, so she uses that opportunity to lure him outside.
Well, okay then.
So then he gets up and follows her outside and the whole mob is waiting for him.
Oh.
And the mob is like, evil dies tonight.
That does sound like them.
And they're all geared up with weapons.
What kind of weapons are we talking?
We're talking hockey stick, baseball bat, couple knives, brass knuckles.
Nope, don't people have guns?
Well, a couple, but not really, you know. This is small town America. They don't really have guns. Anyway, so now it's Michael versus a big mob of people.
Oh man, it's gonna be impossible for him to beat those numbers. Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, they shoot and stab him in a couple of non-lethal areas, and then they're like, hey, we did it, gang. He's dead for sure. Nobody goes for a headshot?
They don't, no. So then Michael gets up.
How, though? I mean, even with crappy weapons, they should have enough people to take him down.
Well, see, they do like the firefighters, and they attack one at a time, and those who do have guns try to fire them within grabbing range.
Oh, these people are terrible at staying alive.
They are. So then Karen goes inside Michael's house and looks out the window, and then he pops out and kills her.
Aren't there any police around?
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of cops, but Michael sneaks around them off screen, which means I don't need to explain how that happened.
Oh, is that how writing works?
It is.
Neat.
And then we're also gonna say that with every kill, Michael gets more powerful.
So he's like supernatural?
Maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, and also we're gonna say that Michael never actually cared about Laurie Strode. He just wanted to go home.
Oh. All right.
So then in the next movie, Halloween Ends, we're gonna have the big showdown between Laurie and Michael.
And you just said he doesn't really give a crap about her at all?
That's right.
So that's the stage you've set for yourself.
Exactly. We're gonna keep it focused on that epic showdown in which one of the parties doesn't really care.
Sure, you gotta keep it focused.
Yeah, but then also just kind of throw a bunch of other gimmicks in there too, I think.
Well, sure. So, you have a Halloween reboot slash sequel for me?
Oh, God, I think so.
Yeah, I'm not sure what this is anymore, but you got that new Halloween movie for me?
Oh, yeah, yes, sir, I do.
Amazing.
So this one's gonna take place 4 years after the events of the last movie, right?
Oh, yeah, and what's going on with Laurie Strode?
She's just kind of doing her best to live a normal suburban life, you know, just taking it easy.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I wrote here. Why, what's up?
It's just like 2 movies ago, we said she had spent like 40 years training and being paranoid just in case Michael Myers ever escaped from the asylum he was in.
Right.
And now Michael Myers has killed her daughter and is on the loose, and she's just chilling.
Yeah, no, she's chilling.
Oh, okay, cool.
So anyway, we're gonna meet this weird 24-year-old dude named Corey, right?
Hey, what's his deal?
Well, his deal is that the movie's about him now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
What about Michael Myers and Laurie Strode?
Not so much, no.
Isn't that what people would want to see, though?
Who's to say?
I mean, probably everybody.
Okay, well, look, we could focus the marketing on Laurie Strode versus Michael Myers, but I think in terms of the actual movie, we're gonna really want to focus on this Corey guy.
If you say so. So what's going on with, Corey, was it?
Corey, yeah. And so 3 years ago, he accidentally killed the kid he was babysitting, and the whole town hates him now. Like, he gets bullied by some high school kids.
Like big football jocks.
Oh, worse. Marching band.
What?
Yeah, these little marching band kids are real mean to Corey, and one day while they're bullying him, he hurts his hand.
Uh-oh.
And so Laurie brings him to this doctor office where her daughter Allison is now a nurse, and she's like, hey, maybe you date my daughter now.
What?
And Allison sees this dude, and she's like, Oh, I am very much into this weird guy who killed a child and gets bullied by teenage marching band geeks.
Well, you know, that is pretty hot.
Yeah, it is. So they're deeply in love now.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But then Corey's gonna get bullied by the marching band again.
God, these tiny musicians will not leave this guy alone.
I know, and this time they push him off a little bridge, and while he's unconscious, he gets dragged into a sewer by Michael Myers.
He's the guy this is supposed to be about.
He is, except it's very much about Corey.
So what's going on with Michael Myers? I mean, at the end of the last movie, we said he was like the embodiment of evil, and he took out a whole entire armed mob by himself.
Yeah, well, I forgot about all that. So now he's very weak and he's been living in a sewer for 4 years.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully people won't really remember how the last movie ended.
This is a direct sequel to it.
It is, yeah. And so he killed a bunch of people and then suddenly became kind of a geriatric Pennywise the Clown, just an arthritic old man occasionally killing people in a sewer.
I guess that's a scary horror movie bad guy.
It might be. So anyway, he grabs Corey and he doesn't actually kill him, but they lock eyes.
Are they gonna kiss?
They're not gonna kiss. Snow, but it seems like Michael maybe sees the same darkness inside Corey that he has inside himself. There's something going on with the eyes.
Is it supernatural? Who knows? You?
Nope. And so then Corey leaves the sewer and immediately kills a homeless guy.
Oh my God.
And then he goes to see Allison and he's like, I just killed a guy. Like, I just murdered a dude.
Yeesh, how does he react?
She doesn't really. So they keep on dating.
Oh, okay.
And then Corey's gonna bring this cop that used to date Allison into the sewer and kind of kill him with Michael.
Oh boy, here we go.
Michael Myers is back, maybe.
Yeah.
And also Corey. Mostly Corey.
I don't know who that is.
Then they're gonna kill another couple of people together and Corey's gonna be kind of consumed by the darkness and want to go on a killing spree.
Uh-oh.
But first he wants Michael's iconic mask.
Well, it's gonna be impossible to get Michael Myers' mask off of him.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just heads to the sewer and beats the crap out of him and takes it from him.
This kid that was beaten up by some marching band kids beats the crap out of Michael Myers.
Yeah, just whoops his little psychopath butt and steals his mask and runs away.
All right.
So then he goes on a killing spree, but when he gets to Lori, she shoots him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he's not actually dead yet, and he tells her, if I can't have your daughter, no one can. And then he cuts his own neck.
But if he's dead, doesn't that mean anyone except him can have her now?
Yeah. Whoops.
Whoopsie.
Anyway, now it's time for the final act of the movie.
So the guy we've spent the entire movie following doesn't make it into the final act.
Correct, because now it's time for the big showdown this has all been leading up to, you know, mostly in the background, I guess.
Which is?
This old, weak sewer guy who was just beat up by a guy who was bullied by band geeks versus a grandmother.
Right.
And so then they fight, and the grandmother wins.
Oh, violent grandmas are tight.
Yeah, they are.
And so then the whole town comes together and parades through the streets with Michael's dead body.
How did everybody find out? Did Lori send out a group text?
Probably a group text situation, yeah. So then they throw his body into this grinder thing, which, you know, grinds it.
Gross. And so that's it? He's dead, dead?
He's dead, dead, sir. And then we see Lori writing a book about the whole experience, and she's like, there will be no grave, no memorial. The memory of him will fade.
The memory of him will fade. Wow.
Wait, she wrote that in a book?
Yes.
Okay.
And so that's about it. What do you think?
Well, listen, as long as we got the iconic mask and knife and the marketing material, this is gonna make money.
Hi, everybody. Ryan George here. Thanks for watching that video. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to click Don't forget to click the...